The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, but I'm very distressed to hear that you are in early stages of man flu.
Well, it's unconfirmed.
Perfect remedy, but I think, well, I'm sure it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right. Yeah, see, I think that is probably the right remedy, eh? What do you think?
Nothing like a hot toddy with a generous dram, and that should sort you right out.
I couldn't agree more, and I think, yeah, I think either that or my family will be drinking the hot toddies just to cope with me over the weekend. That's what I suspect.
I know when I am in the close parameters of the man flu in my home, I contemplate immigration and also...
Right, murder, right.
And also gaze lovingly at the whiskey.
Right, exactly. Boy, do I hear it. You know what? As I said to Zanati during the last song, I'm even irritating myself. That's how. That's how I know I might be having showing full-fledged signs. All right, Rolene Marks, we wanted to chat about a few things in Israel. One of the issues that certainly came up for me this week, and I wrote an article on it, is the issue of the nationality bill. But I don't necessarily want to focus on the bill itself. My concern about it and what I battle with, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you deal with it. You're involved almost every day of your life in one form of Israel advocacy or another. You're involved in media with regard to Israel, as am I. The problem is that there's so much criticism of Israel outside and even within the country that we, in fact, people like ourselves, spend a large amount of our time setting the facts straight, making sure that people actually really do know what's going on. What it doesn't leave a lot of space for is when we are uncomfortable with something that Israel has done or might not have done. And the minute we express that, it becomes quite a difficult position for us to be in because we immediately get classified as whether it's a self-hating Jew, whether it's being too critical of Israel, etc. How do you deal with that?
Well, for somebody who is suffering man flu, you have certainly brought up probably one of the most important, and I think it's a discussion that we need to be having. You know, the one thing for Jews is that we are very self-contemplative, and something that many people don't understand, especially when it comes to dealing with issues in Israel, is that Israel is a very robust, very diverse society, and we are known for having our criticisms of how things pan out internally. And it does put some of us who are involved in Israel advocacy in a precarious position, because on the one hand, we are defending Israel to our detractors, and on the other hand, many of us are critical of certain aspects that happen within Israel. It doesn't make us self-hating Jews. And before people like reach for the SMS, but it doesn't make us self-hating Jews. What it does make us is people who are very, very lucky and enjoy the freedoms that democracy offers. And there are certain aspects of issues that are happening in Israel at the moment that I am concerned about. You know, Israel is not a perfect country. We make mistakes. We have issues that need to be dealt with. It doesn't make us any less Zionist. It doesn't make us any less proudly Israeli. It doesn't make us any less proudly identifying as Jewish. I think that, we want to fix what we see is potentially broken. That's tikkun olam. It's repairing the world. And I'm very proud of Israel that when we do have issues in the country, that we actually start to stand up to them. I think that very soon we are going to be headed towards elections, and it's going to be a very, very interesting election trail, because a lot of us are fed up about and concerned about the trajectory where the country is going. And I'm not just talking about the nation state bill. I'm talking about is there a clamping down from the government on certain voices? Yesterday, one of the big issues was that a cartoonist was fired from a national publication for drawing Netanyahu and his immediate cabinet as pigs kind of saying, you know, we live in an Orwellian universe.
Yeah.
And it's made us very, very angry.
I think they actually said underneath that some animals are more equal than others. I think it actually did refer directly to Animal Farm.
Exactly. And many Israelis, including myself, are, you know, outraged. Are we losing our freedom of expression? This cannot happen. There are clauses within the nation state bill that are very, very concerning for many of us. The issue of whether or not you follow the particular derech of conservative Judaism. We don't like what we're seeing. This is a country that's enshrined in our Declaration of Independence, where we speak about equality, where we speak about welcoming or the ingathering of exiles. We don't say the ingathering of exiles according to certain streams of Judaism. Another big issue that many of us, including national companies, have taken issue with is the bill to deny gay couples and single fathers the right to use surrogates. You know, you should have seen this country on Monday. The country literally went on strike. People of all streams of life, sexual orientations, either went on strike or took to the streets to say, no, this is unacceptable. We demand full and equal rights. And I'm proud that we enjoy the freedom to do that. You know, this is, and you phrased it so well. You know, how do we in Israel advocacy, you know, defend Israel? I mean, we shouldn't have to defend Israel all the time. And I hate that word, Hasbara, because it makes us, you know, continually on the defensive or on the explanation track. But there are issues that we are very, very concerned about.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, on 34519. I'd love your thoughts on criticism and criticism of Israel and how best to deal with that. Another issue that I did want to raise with you, Rolene, is the issue of Jeremy Corbyn. We've seen in the United Kingdom three of the main Jewish newspapers who are normally fiercely competitive against each other in terms of advertising spend, in terms of readership, etc., have all come together to clarify and to warn British Jews and the British public about Jeremy Corbyn's rampant anti-Semitism and the anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. This is one of the first times we've ever seen this type of display of unity and of concern from the Brits.
And I think it's quite extraordinary. If you haven't been following and you're listening, it's the Jewish Chronicle, the Jewish News, and the Jewish Telegraph, and they have come together as one. And they say, we do so because of the existential threat to Jewish life in this country that would be posed by a Jeremy Corbyn-led government. And we've been following with great interest, Howard, you and I, we've spoken at length about the track that the Labour Party is going down with failing to discipline anti-Semites within their ranks, failing to deal with anti-Semitism, and now the horrendous move of the Labour Party to try and define what anti-Semitism is so that they can allow a path to criticize Israel and say that Israel is a racist country. And, you know, as we've just said, Israel is very complex and we have many, many issues that need to be fixed. But are we a racist country? No, I don't believe that we are. However, the Labour Party has maneuvered to say this. This is profoundly offensive to Holocaust survivors and all those who perished in the Holocaust. And who is Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party to define anti-Semitism? They refuse to listen to the Rabbonim. They refuse to listen to the Holocaust Trust. They have been criticized again and again and again. They refuse to listen to members within their ranks who've also come out in criticism and concern about growing anti-Semitism, and Jeremy Corbyn doesn't seem to bat an eyelid. You know, Howard, what is going on?
What is interesting is that you're not seeing, or we're certainly not seeing enough Labour Party pressure coming from within the party to remove him. He has to be doing tremendous damage. And if he's not doing damage, well, then that's a concern in of itself as to where the Labour Party is actually aligning itself.
And, you know, last week, Dame Margaret Hart, she's a member of the Labour Party, lost it, and she called her leader, she called him an anti-Semite, and she also said some other things which we can't say on radio, but I think it came from a place of such frustration and such anger at the way she sees her party, which once stood for fighting racism of all kinds. That used to be the reason why many joined the UK Labour Party, was because they took a stand against racism. And she said to him, "You are an anti-Semite." And unfortunately, she's the one who has been disciplined.
Quite incredible. The amazing thing about it is the Labour Party has traditionally been the home of a large amount of UK Jews.
It has been the home of a large amount of UK Jews. You are absolutely correct, because of its stance against racism, and the party has now taken a complete turn. It's made a 180 degree turn, and so much so that the Labour Party in Israel has formally broken ties with it. I know that the former leader of the Labour Party, who is now the head of the Jewish Agency, Isaac Herzog, wrote to Jeremy Corbyn sharing his concerns. He was summarily ignored, and the current head of the Labour Party actually wrote a letter to the UK Labour Party saying, "We are formally breaking ties because of our concerns about the path which this party is heading down."
Very, very interesting and very worrying. And I think what is even more worrying is that you don't have very strong and powerful leadership on the Conservative side, on the Tory side, with Theresa May, who's under tremendous amount of pressure and criticism, which means that if there were to be a national election, Labour could actually win because of the weakness of the Conservative Party, and that would be absolutely horrific for the Jews living in the United Kingdom.
Well, we're hearing from more and more Jews saying that they are considering leaving the country because of anti-Semitism. I think for Boris Johnson, this is providing prime opportunity for him to decide whether or not or where he chooses to place himself in UK politics. And I think that he has the prime ministership firmly in his sights, and should the UK go to elections, I think it's going to be quite a contentious one, and a very, very, very worrying one for Jews.
Indeed. Emma says, "Well said, Raleigh. Nice to get a more balanced view on Israel. We are often hypersensitive about criticism and go into denial." That's from Em. I think Em, the reason that we do that is because we spend so much of our time being unfairly, having to defend Israel from unfair criticism. And I think if criticism was balanced and fair, we wouldn't find ourselves in that position. Raleigh, your thoughts?
I think, Howard, as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, you phrased it perfectly when you used the terminology lager. It is like we've circled the wagons. It is like we've retreated into ourselves. And sometimes, you know, when I put my feisty advocacy cap on, sometimes I want to say to our foreign critics, you are forcing us into this position when you don't stand up to anti-Semitism, as we've just spoken about in the UK, when you allow for these ridiculous resolutions to be passed at the United Nations. You are forcing us into a corner where we are going to become very, very, very defensive.
Well, really, and I want to, we're running out of time, but I want to actually add one more point to this. I'm going to suggest that this is even happening not only on a political and religious level, but even on a social level in Israel. When I wrote an article, a very tongue-in-cheek article about what happens if the Thai kids' mothers were Jewish, what I found was insane criticism and hypersensitivity from Israelis who somehow managed to take this article and say, "How could you be so insensitive? Some Israeli kids died some months back in a flood." And I thought to myself, wow, do you not know that there's a whole world out there? This has actually nothing to do with you. You know, should we not write this article because there's Syrian kids that have died and there are kids all over the world that have died in tragic situations? Why is it that you think that everything is about your own environment? And I'm worried that this lager thing is happening not only religiously, not only politically, but almost socially, as people feel more and more panicked and more at at risk from the outside world. Your thoughts in a few seconds on me, unfortunately.
Well, I do agree. You know, when the tragedy happened in Israel, you and I covered it and we spoke about it, and we were quite devastated at the loss of life. But if we look to the Thai incident, it wasn't a tragedy. It had a happy ending. And I agree with you, and I thought, you know, it's unfair criticism. You've actually sometimes you've got to take the blinkers off and you've got to look at each situation as they are independently, and stop being so defensive. It is sometimes our defensive and that like defensive mechanism that we have that is bringing resistance from the other side.
Absolutely,
totally
right.
Makes sense in my head.
In your head, it makes sense, and it even makes sense on radio. It is 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks, you have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. Please God, a peaceful one, and we'll speak to you next week.